Hallelujah. Welcome to this week's teaching by Exchange Church Belfast. Our heart at Exchange is for you to experience a genuine encounter with Jesus Christ and to thrive in life. If you want to call by for a Sunday service, we'd love for you to join us at 10:30 a.m. for a wee cuppa, followed by worship from 11. You can also connect with us via our Facebook page, Exchange Church Belfast, our Twitter at Exchange Church, our Vimeo, exchangechurch.tv, and our website, of course, exchangechurchbelfast.com. And it would be great to hear from you. Now, over to this week's talk.
So, can I just say this? Can you get back to being an observer and not a judge? How do you do that? How do you just simply observe? Because people, what you might turn around and say is, right, well, hold on a wee second. So do we never get to esteem anyone at any time? I mean, seriously, because some people are mental and they're dangerous and they do stupid stuff. So don't give me this all, because that's the truth of it. You know, don't tell me it's all just about grace and we're all just kumbaya, mega loving thing going on, because they are bonkers and they're dangerous. All right? That is true. Now, so what do you do? Matthew 16, verses 78, you'll recognize them by what did Jesus say? By their fruit. Any grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs or from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. That's quite hard to say. A diseased tree bear good fruit. Now, listen to me. Before you go, haha, thank you. I told you it was in the Bible. I was right. He did this, and he's bonkers. Bad fruit. I get to judge. All right? That's not what he's talking about. He talks about fruit. All right? Now, the principle is applicable to everybody across the board. The only way of knowing, okay, is not what we think that is in their hearts. Because when you attach significance to what's in their heart, for example, let me give you a real-life example before I move on. If I went to talk to Adam there, right, and I went to lean over Dorothy, and I smacked Dorothy in the face by accident with my elbow, all right, Dorothy has a choice to make in that moment. She goes, and she gets up, like people from Portadown do, and she wails all around her, smacking at me and throwing chairs and going, you'll never do that again, pastor, all right? All right, Dorothy? Probably not. That's choice number one. Or Dorothy goes, big oaf, I know him, all right? I know what he's like. He's just clumsy. No harm done. He was just leaning past me. Do you see how the same thing happened? One, I chose to make it personal and attach significance to the motive of me leaning over. The other one, I chose not to judge the motive in a negative way. It was the same thing that happened. I'm looking at the same thing, but the result in my life, one is freedom and one is pain. Do you see what I'm getting to do? What I'm saying? That's what I'm trying to say when Jesus says, don't judge. I'll give you some more verses for that. So what do you do about fruit? What does that mean? Now, can I just say this with people? Especially this matters in the church. And we were crucified many times by many people over one thing. When I look back about it now, it's bonkers. I would deal with it entirely differently. But fruit is the only thing that is observable. And listen to me, it grows over time. It's not a single event. Okay, it's not a mistake, and it's definitely not somebody's even their current actions. Do you hear me? Fruit is our track record. It's what we are likely to do in the future is what we have probably consistently done in the past until we receive grace, okay? And grace is the part of change. And really what anyone ever knows about us is our track record. People don't know why you did what you did, but they could see the outworking of it. And even knowing someone's track record, listen to me, doesn't give anyone the right to make a judgment about what was going on in their heart at the time. Now, this is hard to receive, but it will free you. Track records are simply this. They're observable and measurable actions that we can apply wisdom to whenever we have to deal with people. For example, Samuel's come back. He's obviously let go of his offense. Okay? So you might see something in somebody's life, and it's observable over time. Not just to say, thank you, bro. Thank you. Do you know what? I actually want to see you drink it first in case you put anything in it. Did you come out of the bathroom with that, Samuel? That's all I'm saying. Hi. Make a joke about my hairdo, I'll get you. Here we go. Just kidding. All right. But even when somebody's track record is not good, and there's an inconsistency in their behavior, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't treat them with love and respect. Because what I love about the gospel is the law says you're guilty, grace says go again. All right. And so our debt to people is what? Let no debt remain outstanding. Remember, the law always brought a debt and an obligation, but grace brings freedom. And so we treat each other with what? With weight, with honor, and with value. Because where there's, here's the thing. See, when people are continually messing up in their lives, and you see that consistently, what happens is we go, that's what they're like, rather than stopping to go, that's just what they're doing. If we will see them as sons and call out the gold in them, call them not as they are, but who Christ has called them to be, what do? Go back to Mark 6. We've created an atmosphere of honor where life flows. And when life flows and grace flows and hope flows and love flows, then everybody can change. Everybody. Nobody is exempt. But when we bring law and we bring penalty and when we bring accusation and when we bring judgment about that's who you are, life is killed. You don't know anyone. You don't know what they do, but you don't know what's going on in here. You think, oh, well, actually, hold on a minute. I really do. Actually, the Bible's going to tell you that you don't. But the thing is, it's that moment of deciding that you do know what was in their heart that caused you the pain. Remember, it comes back to you way more. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. That verse is used about money. It's not, the context is judgment. It's not used about money. Some of the faith camp have taken that. You're okay, and it'll come pressed down. No, it was all about judgment. And not judgment from God, but judgment from people. Remember, what I sow comes back to me relationally and emotionally much more than what I give. So commit to be an observer, not a judge. The Bible's full of wisdom as to how to deal with people when you see their track record, when you look at their fruit. But I promise you this, if you want to see different fruit, grace is the only way that it's going to happen. And that grace is not your work, it's you receiving and you flowing. Now that's freedom for you. Remember at the start I said this is all about your freedom and getting out of the trap. All right? And this is you stopping before offense sits. Because when you judge, that's when you take the bait. Okay? So just don't judge and you won't take the bait. Does that make sense? Okay, last couple of points. I read a book once and the guy said this great line. He said, I'm killing myself trying to fix you. I thought, isn't that absolutely brilliant? Let me read this, Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. When you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, do you not notice the log that's in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? When there is a log in your own eye, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, we have no greater need, I believe, other than to receive the love of Jesus and then to have harmonious relationships around us. We're social people, aren't we? God made us social, emotional, relational-based beings. And it's interesting that money, entertainment, position will never replace the need for a really good relationship with one another. So that's where the area of attack is. You see, lots of people with great position and lots of money, relationally a disaster, and they're the unhappiest people that I've probably ever met. Because we're built differently. Now, here's what the word tells us here. That you can help people without trying to fix them. Let that one sit. If fixing them is your definition of helping people, all right, then I'm going to say that you're probably not going to live at peace with people. Because living at peace and trying to fix somebody at the same time very rarely coexists and does well. Okay? Can I just say this? The best thing that you can do for anyone in your life, okay, is to be the best version of you. Oh, hold on a minute. There's this and there's this. Okay. What we do is we tend to go right to the end of the edges here and go, but what about? And I know you've got lots of questions. I'm just starting today to look at, you know, what goes on in your heart. You see, for me to be the best husband or to have the best home, let me say the best home, all right? Penny and I are married nearly 21 years. Got married when I was 10, and every time. Was it 9? Don't know. And what have I learned about creating a happy, harmonious home for Penny and for the children. It's not me fixing them, because I kill myself when I try to fix them. But it's to be the best version of me. The best version of who God's called me to be. And so very early on in my relationship and marriage, and we, you know, we're good and we're bad at this. We have ups and downs. Is what I understood was that my job was not to fix Penny, my job was to love her. Now, she's still on that journey, that's all I'm saying. She hasn't quite had that revelation yet. But so pray for me and pray for her. Andrew, what are you doing? Isn't that right? But if I take care of my own love walk, if I take care of my own heart and I take care of my own offense, then listen to me, there can be no other result other than good fruit in my life and in my home. And what I need to do is I need to honor Penny and honor my children and love them and give weight and value to who Christ has called them and made them to be. And what is the... Remember we talk about... And the result is that life flows. Remember, when we see this all through the Bible, the principle of staying connected. The life that's in the vine has to flow through the branches, and the branches bear good fruit. You see this all over the place. So for the longest time, I have tried my best not to fix her or fix anybody else. Even when I see things and I go, that's bonkers. I'm not going to try to fix you. I'm just going to create a space where you're always loved and trust that the Lord will do what he needs to do in you. Does it mean that we don't have the conversation? Of course we do. But I've stopped stepping into that place of now I am the Holy Spirit who will make you right. No, as I receive love, as I receive and sit at the foot of Jesus and his presence is my abundant supply, every lack that I see in the humanity around me is met in his abundant supply as I receive. There's no other way. Is that okay? There's no other way. What I've found is that when people are in a time of need, the greatest service I can do them is to be able to bring the love of God and the grace of God to them. That's the truth. Not bring words of wisdom and words of life and 10 points. The greatest gift I can bring anyone is his grace and his love, which is only God by receiving. And so I don't try to fix Penn. I don't judge. I just simply try to be the best version of me. And here's the thing, if in relationships, in grace, if we're all doing that, guess what happens? It's not just my responsibility, it's all of our responsibility. What would it be like? What would your home be like if you stopped trying to fix your kids? Remember, when we see sin, we try to control it. Why? Because we're afraid. Stop judging them that way and just love them. Now, love looks like something. It looks like boundaries, all that sort of stuff. Create the space where, because it's the same with kids. When kids are judged, okay, they turn in. And what's in there stays in there because it's law. But under grace, it's able to come out. I want to, I know as a parent, we have tons of challenges as parents, don't we? Well, can I just say, I have tons of challenges as a parent. God help us, isn't that right? All the other parents are just looking at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't get them out of the Bible. Seriously. 4:30 in the morning, there they are, singing Kumbaya in the bedrooms, ministering to sick people on the way to church this morning. And, you know, every bit of pocket money I give them just rolls right out to any ministry that they see that the Lord puts in their heart. Bog off. And, but with my kids, you see, with my kids, I go, you know, sometimes I look at their outward behavior and I feel afraid. Do you get that? I look at it and I go, oh, it's not what I see. It's not what I envisage. I know that it's not good. I probably think that I know what's going on inside you. And the Lord goes, don't judge. Love them. Now, of course, instruction is important, okay? But I'm not going to control you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to give you weight. I'm going to value you because I believe that life will flow in that place, because I just realized that my desire to control you is because I'm afraid of your sin. But where there's sin, his grace abounds. And that's a real toughie, but it's rooted in judgment in my heart. So that's what I have to receive to go, it's the only way that I can truly love. And the best thing that I can be for my kids is the best dad. So what do my kids need whenever I mess up? Not for dad to try, or when I mess up or they mess up, not for dad to try to fix them, but to see a dad who is flowing in love and goodness and patience and mercy. The best thing I can do for them is be the best version of me, as Christ called me to be. Does that make sense? Now, the last thing I want to say is this, that, you know, don't try, you know, if we're not careful, what can happen is this, you know. I think in Matthew 7 here, where it's talking about planks and specks and all that sort of stuff. You know, I think at the moment you think that you can look at somebody and see their faults more clearly than you see your own, okay? That's what this bit of the Bible is saying. It says you become a hypocrite. Now, hypocrites, it just means somebody who's acting under an assumed character. That's what a hypocrite actually defines as. And what's that assumed character? You think that you're not God. So you've actually taken the place of Jesus in their life because you're able to see much more clearly what's wrong with them than what he says. Now, if we're not careful, we can become more sensitive to the faults of other people. Isn't that right? When you see their faults, you get really tuned into them and they really annoy you. It's like Penny's a noisy eater. That does my head in. It's not a sin, but it's just really annoying. So last night, we're sitting on the sofa and I made her some lovely pasta after being here. And I'm going, would you ever stop that? Right? Now, we laugh about it, and it's fine, because I'm a quiet eater, but Ben and Penny, dear bless us all. I'm saying, will you turn that TV? Rather than turning the TV up to 65, why don't you just stop smacking your food? Right? But do you know what happens? Once you become aware of it, all you can hear is, even when she's being quiet, isn't that right? You're doing it again. You know what I mean? It's dead funny. Do your bopping. Isn't it funny? You're so sensitive to what's going on with other people. But can I just say this? Actually, most often I find that it's actually that people's needs are expressed through their faults. All right? And too often we see negative behavior and we don't recognize sometimes our stuff. I don't know what goes on in Penny to make her go. But the point is this, you know. But what we've seen is that love is actually about getting the splinter out of her eyes. And Penny and I decided a long time ago the last thing that we need to be is two blind people trying to get something out of each other's eyes, right? Because that's essentially what it's like. Here's me. I don't even know what goes on in my own heart, but I can see your heart really clearly. Let me help you with that. And okay, really? It's like two people who are short-sighted hacking the life out of each other's eyeballs. You both go blind. It's absolutely stupid. It's never your job to fix anyone. And when you judge them, what you think is you're going to fix them because you've judged what the issue is. You'll never do that. It's your job to create an environment where God and people can work together to receive grace upon grace, because as they receive him, they're transformed. But you've got to believe that the power of the gospel is enough to change your heart. That's the point. Because when you don't believe that the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in them is enough, but Lord, what about? No, he is enough. He's enough to change the coldest, most wicked thing in anybody and to give them a whole brand new start. He is enough. And it's that faith challenge at times to go, do I really trust that in loving, that it creates enough life to flow where actually love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness and self-control all will be the fruit? Do I truly believe that he is good to his word? Because that's the issue. And that's when we go back and we go, no, I'd rather just make a judgment on what it is and I'll fix it. And in doing that, dishonor reigns and life is stopped. It's a challenge, folks. It really is a challenge. But I'm going to finish by just saying this. In an environment of love, in an environment of grace, in a family of that, people feel safe enough to address their stuff, to address their issues. If you try to fix somebody, what happens when somebody tries to fix you? What do? You tighten up, don't you? There's a good port it down expression. You tighten up, boy. That's what happens. Try to fix me and I will react to you. Why? Because I don't want penalty in my life. I react against it. And law brings penalty, judgment, and fixing me. You know, I have fun. It doesn't work with me. I had people trying to send me to all kinds. In this church, older people who were here going, oh, do you know what you need? Basically, you need fixed. You're mentally ill. And I could be, I don't know whether I am or not, all right? But they used to tell me, oh, I've got a guy who'll fix you. I never went, all right? Never, ever went. And then, it's not true. Oh, do you know what the problem is? It's so deep down in your heart Like people, honest to goodness, mental. So deep down in your heart, you're so wicked, you don't even realize how wicked you are, but we see it all. So we're going to fix you. You would not believe the craziness in the church. And Jesus said, I come to bring you freedom. I used to feel like the worst sinner in hell. Like nothing I would do was right. It was awful because it was, oh, we're going to fix you. Or we're not going to fix you. We have the man who will fix you. 6 months with him at £75 an hour, you'll be so much better. Do you know what? I used to think, are you on flipping commission? Because you're all recommending this guy. I bet you're on 10%. I know it. I could judge your heart. You're all on an earner. So the thing in me was, whenever people try to fix me, right, I go, no, thank you. You're not fixing me. But whenever people came along and said, do you know what? We really love you. When Marcel Gassenbeek from Young and Free came along and went, I don't care what happened. I don't care. We just love you. I tell you what, life started to flow in us. Isn't that right? When Joshua McCauley picked up the phone that night and said, hey, I want to connect with you, life started to flow. And what I've found in our lives over the last couple of years is life flows when there is honor given. When, I tell you, Pastor Marcel is an absolute, such a calling for this. You are not what you do, you are loved. We don't care about that, we just care, how are you doing? We love you, we value you, we honor you. But Marcel, I remember having the conversation, what about this? Doesn't matter. You're just loved. I was like, seriously? The most beautiful high-definition picture of grace given to me in the church that I had ever experienced was Marcel Gassenbeek. And I know that he listens to this, but it's for me to honor him today, to say thank you, Pastor, for doing that for us. Because life flowed in us as a result. Life flowed in us as a result. When there was the end of judgment and people fixing and condemnation, life flowed. Isn't that right? And we're so grateful to him and to Cody to this very day. They're great friends. I'm just going to finish. I haven't got through all this, so I might need to finish it. But if I could say this, that actually the root of offense is judgment. That's what I'm trying to say. Whenever you judge why somebody does something, you're in judgment in the wrong sense. And whenever you do that, you're in dishonor. You're treating people as ordinary, and there's no life. It cuts. Jesus himself was restricted when there was a dishonor in the house. Isn't that amazing? So here's the good thing. What am I asking you to do? Scrunch up your eyes this week. Your feelings will still be, I, Penny, stop smacking your mouth. Feeling frustrated. Turning the TV up to 70 just so I can hear over the noise of this. All right? So your feelings don't change. She's going to kill me. I swear I'm dead. But you know what? Go big or go home, too good. That's what I'm saying. But if you can stop this week to go, my responsibility is just to receive and to be the best version of me. The more love I receive, the more grace I receive, the more I behold Jesus and how he loves me, the more I'll be able to look at somebody and go, he loves you the same way. I'll never do it naturally, but I'll do it supernaturally in a supernatural flow. Whenever you stop, honestly, tell yourself this. It's called reframing your thinking, actually. Reframe your thinking. Whenever somebody cuts across you, stop in that moment and ask yourself the question, why am I reacting the way that I am? Is it because I've just judged the motive of what they did? Who do they think they are? They don't like me. They don't, okay? This is why I say get off Facebook. Oh, they didn't like my photograph. It's because I'm not cool enough. I'm not in the crowd. I'm not this enough. I'm not that enough, all right? That's honestly what used to go on in me. Why didn't they share our teaching? I don't know. Maybe they're embarrassed about the church. Okay, do you get that? That's real life for me. That was a flipping whopper sermon. 3 people shared it. Right? And nobody else even liked it. But you all stand here with your hands in the air. Real life for me. I go, well, that's because actually they're embarrassed. And that plays into all the crap from before they're embarrassed, etc. And you might be. I don't care. That's about you. But the thing is, I make it about me, and then I live with it in my heart. So the best thing for me to do is just to stop judging. I don't know why you don't share the teaching, some of you. But that's not, I've stopped making it about me. And therefore, it helps me to honor you and love you and still have life flow. Do you get that? But then also I take away the distraction of the social media. So I don't even see it. It doesn't even bother me. I'm just trying to tell you what it's like in real life around this stuff. So whenever I start to feel it, I go, what was I thinking on there? What was it that triggered that? That's because I had made a judgment somewhere, which was unhealthy. So now I just choose to love. And I just choose to love. Not as best as I can, as much as I can receive is how much I can love. Amen? Live free. This week it was for freedom that he set you free. Don't take the bait. Learn in your heart when you're slipping into why instead of what. Be wise and allow the Holy Spirit to show you that, because you will see grace flow like you've never seen it before. Amen.